Welcome back to the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Back in here on the Gold Standard, SB Nation Radio. I want to talk a little NFL, and nobody better to talk NFL with than the NFL insider, that is Adam Kaplan. And Adam, I understand you're up at Vikings camp, the Jaguars there as well, and let's start with the Jaguars. And honestly, when I woke up this morning, I didn't think I'd be asking you about an article in GQ magazine, but that is kind of where I start. What did you make of that article in which the Jaguars corner Jalen Ramsey pretty much called out every quarterback in the league, it seemed like, and also praised some as well?
Yeah, so it was interesting in that, you know, he hasn't been in the league very long yet. He's giving his opinion on quarterbacks he hasn't even faced yet. So I find that interesting. And look, when you're one of the top corners in the league, you could talk a little smack, or you could give a strong opinion out whether people want to hear it or not. But then you have the issue where he's suspended for a week, had an issue with the media. I know talking to the Jaguars today, they're not really happy about it. Jalen's his own guy, and it's a situation where maybe when he's older, he'll handle that situation differently. But the fact of the matter is, he's got some strong opinions. And I know looking at Twitter today, some people actually agree with him, but the bottom line is he's got a long career, and I'll tell you what, when he faces some of these quarterbacks he didn't like, he's probably going to have a target on his back.
And that's what I was wondering, because if I'm not mistaken, don't the Jags play the Giants week one? And Eli, you know, today, you know, usually you would think he maybe would shrug his shoulders and turn the other way, but he had a little comment today as well. And so you're providing a little bit of bulletin board material. Is that the worst thing that really comes out of this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you don't want to do that. And look, you got Tom Coughlin, speaking of the former Giants, a Giants guy. Coughlin can't be happy about it. I mean, this is not what you want when you're trying to build a championship team. But talking to the Jaguars today, I mean, look, they get it. It's just part of today's culture. Players are going to talk. And that's, you know, you don't want to be in print, but bottom line is it's print. It's not going to go away. And it certainly will be brought up again, I'm sure, when they play.
Talking with NFL insider Adam Kaplan here on SB Nation Radio, and you brought up kind of the punishment there for Jalen Ramsey, but what do you make of the two opposite ends of the spectrum where you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey gets a week suspension for a tweet and kind of attacking the media, then you got the Browns who have been featured on Hard Knocks and Antonio Callaway gets arrested, and his punishment was apparently playing a nearly full preseason game.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Generally, you know, the way it works, Alex, is coaches will go ahead and bench a player for discipline if they have an off-the-field issue that they think is severe enough. Yet to punish him, to play him the whole game, I mean, I saw his agent tweet something about he gave his opinion of what he thought of that. I mean, it doesn't make very much sense to me. I've covered the league 20 years, and I don't remember a time when I've seen that. I don't think that's the kind of punishment that you would expect. But Hugh Jackson's with his player. They've got to get him right. And this is a team, by the way, you talk about the Browns, the team is really hurting at wide receiver, and that's why they are interested in Dez Bryant.
And with you being up at Vikings camp, though, and with the Jags there, you continue your camp tours. What do you think of this Vikings team? Certainly what they were able to do a year ago, and then they go out and bring in Kirk Cousins. And you just look at some of the playmakers on that team offensively, and they might be one of the more exciting offenses to watch in football this year.
Yeah, I think with the Vikings, I think when we start there, the only concern that I would have is, and I know talking to the Vikings, they made it clear they know it's a concern. Their offensive line, they're two men down here. They're starting center and one of their guards. Nick Easton is out for the season after disc surgery. And then you've got their center, Pat Elflein, not ready yet. And they don't have an exact time yet when he's going to be ready. He's coming off of two surgeries. So that's a problem. So that right now they're looking, as I understand it, they are looking to add a minimum of one offensive lineman, eventually two. That's a problem because when you look at the landscape of all the teams that they're playing, they're facing a lot of really good defenses, so their offensive line not being intact, that's a concern. But you're right, overall, they're loaded. They're two starting receivers, outstanding. They've got a new play caller in John DeFilippo, who I talked to today, and he's really excited about Dalvin Cook. He spoke very highly of him. He basically said he's an elite talent, which I thought was interesting. Being that Cook, Alex, got hurt last season, remember, he tore his ACL, but he's looked so good that DeFilippo's thinks he's going to be special. So if you're a Viking fan listening to us right now, you've got maybe perhaps one of the most talented running backs in the league, although he's only in his second season.
Talking with NFL insider Adam Kaplan as we get set for the second week of the preseason here on SB Nation Radio. And the NFL today tweets out a video, or I should say Al Riveron, a VP of officiating, tweets out a video today trying to explain this NFL helmet rule, which is going to be an issue, I'm sure, well into the season. It seemed to create even more confusion than I believe in the last couple hours. They finally edited the video a little bit to add some graphics, to add some animation, but there's still no narration after they showed six plays. And the first three, I think people looked at and understood, okay, yeah, those are legal. But the final three, it just seems like it made a lot more confusion out there, and this is a problem that's going to continue for a while.
Oh, it's a problem. I mean, I can't tell you how many coaches have brought it up to me when I've asked them how's camp going. They said, look, this helmet rule, and they're glad that the officials are cracking down. I mean, they're calling it hard so they get the players ready for the regular season. But we had a game last week where we had well over 30 penalties, and you can't have that. And I get it that was to be expected because this is a major adjustment. As one coach told me, this is the biggest significant rule change that, and this coach has been in the league for 10 years, that he's ever seen. And he said it's a mindset for now for these players that they can't lower their head. Because if you lower your head and you try to tackle someone, you're going to hit them with your helmet. That's just the way it is. This is not what we had. They got the targeting out, and they got everything else out. But the players now understand the helmet is only used to protect yourself, not to use it against somebody else.
Now, when you look at this rule, and you mentioned it, a coach telling you maybe one of the most significant rule changes, I mean, do you think as this season goes on that we will look at it at like that old catch rule and say, hey, nobody knows what it is? Or do you feel like we should have any reason to believe that the league will be able to figure this thing out?
No, they're good. Well, listen, the catch, no catch thing, it was, as you said, you're right, it was way too confusing. It's one of these situations, if it looks like a catch, it should have been a catch. Or in this case, if it looks like you're using your helmet to hit, it should be called. And that's what they want. But the problem is, and the referees have told me over the years, you can't legislate intent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be the problem here. If it's clear that you lowered your helmet to hit, it's got to be a flag. I get that. But it's the inadvertent hits where the player didn't really lower his helmet, but he tried to tackle him and his helmet maybe hit the crown of the opponent. Remember, the refs, Alex, have to call these penalties in real time. They don't have the benefit of instant replay. Believe me, some of these calls are going to be wrong, and fans are going to go crazy.
Talking with NFL insider Adam Kaplan here on the Gold Standard SB Nation Radio. And what's been your reaction now two episodes in to what we've seen from Hard Knocks, and specifically Hugh Jackson in his interaction? I know a lot of people making a big deal about his interaction with Todd Haley and also Todd Haley's interaction with the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. This is one of my favorite ones. There's no question about it. I love Hard Knocks. Big NFL Films fan. But this one, and how about Todd Haley saying, Alex, that he didn't quite realize some of his comments to some of the players and coaches were taped. It's always being taped, but they don't even realize it, and that's the beauty of it, because it's not really intrusive because they're always on it. Sometimes you don't even notice it, but it's been wonderful. The storytelling is incredible. Hugh Jackson, the first episode, losing his brother and his mom, unbelievable. It felt really bad for him. I mean, that's the stuff, Alex, one of the best things about NFL Films and Hard Knocks. They get stuff, they get behind the scenes, and they get information that no one else knows about because it never gets out, and you never get to see that. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and more power to NFL Films and getting those behind the scenes footage that we never get to see.
And what did you make of Baker Mayfield and really the rest of the rookie quarterbacks in their debut last week?
You know, I thought Mayfield did really well. In fact, Sam Darnold, and I was with the Jets for 2 days. He got a lot of work with the first team offense. As I have told people, put on Twitter the other day, that my understanding was that Darnold is under the accelerated process of getting him ready to be able to start. Now, whether it's going to be week one, week three, week five of the regular season, that remains to be seen. But Thursday night this week against the Redskins, that's where that clock's going to run. And then Mayfield was really, really good, and he's under control. You know, there was this really bad narrative that he plays like Johnny Manziel. He really doesn't. He will scramble and move around, but if you noticed last week, he would always scramble around and then move back into the pocket to throw the football to create space. So, no, he's on the right track, but I find it very interesting and a little bit surprising that no matter how well he does, he will not start week one in the regular season. It's going to be Tyrod Taylor, which is, of course, what Hugh Jackson said, and he's not going to back off of it. Some people don't agree with it, and some coaches I've talked to about it around the National Football League don't agree with it, but Hugh thinks he has this thing under control, and we'll see how he does this season.
A couple more minutes with NFL insider Adam Kaplan. Follow him on Twitter, at KaplanNFL, as he joins us here on SB Nation Radio. And how about the Eagles? I know that's a team you're well-connected with, certainly, and the Eagles saying it's going to be close when it comes to whether or not Carson Wentz is going to play week one. How do you see the Eagles handling that? And ultimately, what happens with Nick Foles there as well?
Yeah, so my understanding as of the last 24 hours is they have not made a decision whether he'll play in week one, but next week he's going to ramp up 11-11. See, what happened, Alex, is that in week one of the, really, of training camp, on the first day of practice, Carson Wentz surprised us all. Now, I was there that day. He took 11-on-11 reps, which is team reps, and we were kind of surprised. So you would just think, well, if he's going to do that, they're not going to back off. But that was a very short practice, under an hour and a half. And in the end, I think when you look at it, Carson Wentz has come a long way with double ligament surgery. And you got to give him that credit. But quite frankly, as Carson said himself, it's close, but it's going to be the doctor's call. It has nothing to do with Nick Foles being the backup and a great backup, and they have that insurance. It's strictly a medical decision of when, A, the left knee is healed, and, B, they feel like he's had a couple weeks of full-team practice taking over half of the first-team reps. And right now he's not doing that, so that's why it's going to be close.
Lastly for you, Adam, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, their holdouts continue. I mean, what's going on here between both of these? There's been some reports. Is it true the Raiders just don't have enough cash on hand? I've seen that floated out there when it comes to Khalil Mack. Aaron Donald, is it sticker shock? What really is going on here between these two teams and these two players?
Yeah, so with Khalil Mack, he's going to want to beat Von Miller's deal of just under $20 million per season. And although they play different positions, Donald's a D-tackle, although in a 34 he plays end. Khalil Mack moved from linebacker a couple years ago back to defensive end. If one of these could get done, then because Donald's going to want over $20 million, he's going to want to beat Ndamukong Suh. His deal, ironically, Sue's now a teammate. So these deals may be within a couple of million of each other. If one could get done, it actually would help a little bit. But fact of the matter is, with the Rams, they tried to get it done last year. They didn't get it very far. They've made more progress this year. But if you're Aaron Donald, you want to avoid that franchise tag. Remember, Mack, Odell Beckham Jr., and Donald were all selected in the 14 draft, and they're on their fifth-year option. You want to avoid that franchise tag. So they've got some motivation. As I've told people over the years about these situations, these things typically don't get done until there's a deadline. The deadline is the first week of the regular season. If it gets that far, as we saw last year with Donald, he didn't even play week one. So you want to avoid that, and the Raiders know it. They cannot get to the playoffs without Khalil Mack. It's just not going to happen. Though, talking to them, if you're a Raider fan listening, they love Arden Key, defensive end who's a rookie, and their other rookie, P.J. Hall's defensive tackle. They've been standouts in training camp, and I know they're really happy with those guys.
Along those lines, lastly, I mean, do you give any credence to the reports, or not even reports, I guess, just the odds that are out there about landing spots? Would the Raiders consider trading Khalil Mack?
I highly doubt it. I've covered this league a long time. I always say never. A couple things surprise me every year, but you don't find guys like Khalil Mack on the market. And plus, he's such a leader for the football team, high character guy. It would take a minimum of two first round picks just for them to listen. They're not looking to trade him. But what happens is if someone comes in with a blockbuster offer, theoretically, they would listen, but they do not want to trade Khalil Mack. I would be shocked. I'm really shocked in this business. That would shock me if they actually strongly considered trading him. Again, they've got two franchise tags to use, so it would make no sense.
Terrific insight, as always, from the NFL insider, that is Adam Kaplan, kind enough to join us tonight on SB Nation Radio. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You got it. Really enjoyed talking there with Adam Kaplan here on SB Nation Radio. Interesting stuff he had to say about Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, and certainly just his thoughts on the Jalen Ramsey stuff, and basically saying that the Jaguars certainly not necessarily too thrilled with also the tweets that went out towards the media that resulted in this one preseason game suspension. We come back here on the Gold Standard. What's Oregon doing with their uniforms again? I got a question. That's next.